You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to our show, the John C. Scott broadcast on this August 28th, the day after the primary election of 2019. I'm on my way to the station at 1:30. Get a call from Congressman Grijalva. He doesn't call me very often. Actually, never calls me. But he called me today. Can I get on your show? I went, of course you can get on the show. When would you like on? Well, maybe end of the week. Fine. How about Friday? Friday's good. 3 or 4. Well, let's do 4 o'clock. I said, but Congressman, I'm going to ask you this question. Did you coordinate the third-party effort for raising the kind of outside money that we saw in the race for Raheena Romero to become the Democratic nominee of the Democratic Party? I'm going to ask you that question. Are you going to be able to answer that question? Well, we'll talk on Friday. Of course, I helped her, he said. Well, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty about that. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Well, it shocked me, the margin of victory for Raheena Romero over Steve Farley. I never expected that. Did you, Jeff?
No, I really didn't. That was very surprising. One of your former guests mentioned something that kind of resonated with me. If we're going to try to look at this and take away some positives from it, you know, every 2 years, either in the presidential campaign or in the statewide offices campaign, we Democrats keep saying, you know, there's this sleeping giant out there that's going to wake up one of these days. And that's the Latino vote in Arizona and in some of the other states of Nevada, New Mexico, California, Texas. And I've always viewed that as something that if it wakes up and is an angry mob, that's good for Democrats. And, you know, I think Larry Bodine was mentioning that earlier, is that, you know, maybe that's what we're seeing here today is real waking up of Latino vote, because, you know, we haven't had a Latino as mayor since we were a territory in the 1890s, and we've never had a woman as mayor. And so those are some positive takeaways from this. As you're well aware, I supported Steve Farley and thought he would be the best mayor of the three candidates, but they were all three good candidates. And I try to find some positives to take away from that, and that's one of them. And I know we've talked a little bit about Raheena Romero's relationship with the business community. You probably ought not to underestimate that as well. You know, when she had an opponent 8 years ago, and I was the chair of the party, we set up an independent committee because there was some people on the west side of town who put up a candidate that we thought was kind of a dark horse Republican that owned a payday lending company. And we mistakenly believed that he might be a threat to her candidacy. So, you know, there was an independent committee that was set up to, you know, help her by attacking him. And the people who contributed to that committee were developers. So, you know, you don't underestimate her ability to actually work with the business community, particularly the development community within the city of Tucson, because, you know, she does have some connections there. And if you take a look at her donors, there are quite a few business donors in her reportings. So, but the worst takeaway from this is what we've talked about constantly over the past several weeks, and that is this extraordinarily obscene amount of money that overwhelmed the other two candidates. It sets a precedent that I think we're going to be stuck with. I mean, the only hope is that Terry Goddard gets his dark money initiative on the ballot for next year, and I think he will. He had enough signatures to get it on the ballot this past election, but it was knocked off because what the state legislature is doing is trying to limit the ability of voters to pass initiatives and referendums. And one of the ways they did that was they said that anybody who's a paid circulator or an out-of-state circulator has to not only register with the Secretary of State, but they also have to be available to be called as a witness to testify that the signature is correct. And so they were able to file a legal case challenging the number of signatures. And then these people, paid circulators, weren't able to show up for these hearings, and so all of their signatures were held to be invalid, and then therefore that knocked it off the ballot. But Terry Goddard is doing it a different way this time. He started earlier and has a lot more time, and he's using only volunteers, and volunteers are not subject to that can they be subpoenaed rule, and do they have to register with the Secretary of State. So I think this will get on the ballot, and this is a lesson that Tucson has learned, that the rest of the state needs to learn as well, that outside forces can come in, and normally we're used to saying those outside forces are Republican business interests who come in and crush Democratic candidates. This is the first time we've seen outside groups come in for a Democratic candidate and crush another Democratic candidate in a primary like this. This is new ground for us.
Well, I have to tell you, I've interviewed Raina Romero over the past 12 years, maybe 20, 30 times, not a lot. I've certainly interviewed Kasachek 10 times, that many times, and Durham and all these particular other council people. I feel very close to Richard Fembridge and others, and Cunningham as well. But the truth of the matter is, I found Raina Romero uninformed about a whole bunch of issues that I've discussed with her, and I'm not trying to be unfair about this. I'm just trying to tell you what my experience with her was. I don't find her decisive. I find her ready to do one thing on one day and then ready to do the absolute opposite on the next day. We're going to be able to find out what kind of mayor she's going to be by the people that surround her, because she does not have some of the skills that Jonathan Rothschild has. She does not have some of the ties that some of the better mayors of our town have had, and being able to walk, I think, a very fine line between satisfying the business community and satisfying the social demands of our community, which are great at the moment. I do not find her as competent as other mayoral candidates. Now, she may become that. She may be able to fill in and do a wonderful job. I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe that Mike Ortega is going to leave, and I believe that she is simply not the best candidate. Can she become that? Maybe, but I doubt it.
Maybe she can become more like what we had with Walkup. I mean, Walkup was a ceremonial mayor, and after all, fortunately, we have one of the best city managers in probably the nation, although, in the West and the East, they don't have city manager form of governments in many places, but and out here in the West, it's predominant. And Ortega is an outstanding city manager, and I think she does understand what a gem we have in him, and that whatever we can do to hold on to him is the most essential part of her job. But the other thing we have is another, all of the people, and I don't know Lane Santa Cruz at all, but everybody else on that council is pretty darn level-headed, and it takes four votes to get something through there, and people like Steve Kozacek, they're not going to let things slip through there that are going to damage this community.
I hope you're right.
The same can be said for Richard Fembres, and the same can be said for Paul Cunningham, and I know Paul Durham really well. And I mean, that's four votes right there. Those people are all level-headed people who are not going to let something slip through that is going to damage this community. So I'm a little less worried about that. I feel like those are the rails that will control everything, and nothing undue will happen with those four votes always there to protect us. And this Nikki Lee running on the Ward 4 seems to be pretty sharp.
She does.
I think she's. Some people tell me she's probably one of the best candidates we've ever had running for the city council. So, those are all positive things, and that'll sort of keep the wheels from coming off the car here.
Yeah, I think so too. If Raina wants to move toward a great deal of progressive things that this city's not really able to do, when they're talking about filling in for the number of police officers that we need for a full complement. The same thing as far as being sure that there's a response time for me on the bathroom floor with a heart attack, waiting for a fireman to come and save my life. Those things are very important to me. Same thing with the roads that I drive on for an hour and a half, 2 hours every single day. Those things are important to me. There'll be other things that I'm sure she'll want to do, but you got to get back to the basics of running a city. I think we're going to hear a great deal of that from the independent candidate for mayor. I don't think you should. You may have to underestimate whether you can win or not, but you can't underestimate the quality. And I think the the background that Ed Ackerley brings to this independent campaign for mayor. He's really a bright guy. Teaches at the University of Arizona. Well, he's an ad agency genius. He's a good guy.
I gather that as well, but if he doesn't, I mean, you saw this wave of money, and and that was just round one. Round two is starting up now. If he can't get out there, and he's running clean, so, you know, if he needs to get up to the 130 or whatever it is, 1,000, and then get the matching funds, and fortunately, you know, he'll have all of that to spend in the general election if he can raise the top amount. But then some people need to step in with independent committees if they're going to support him. And one of the issues with him is that he's got some good ideas that are kind of liberal. I mean, he talks about things like free SunTran and, you know, free riding on the streetcar and expansion of public transportation. And these are not real popular ideas with Republicans who donate money to campaigns. And they're good ideas. And they sound almost like they came out of the mouth of Steve Farley. The tsunami of cash is, he's going to have to confront it, because you can't win with just a ground game, especially Republicans. Republicans don't tend to have as good a ground game as Democrats typically. And so they therefore need sometimes more money than Democrats in order to prevail in these elections.
By the way, is there a viable threat from Raina Romero to anybody that might want to challenge her, say 4 years from now, or challenge her votes or her progressive ideas, for the simple fact you can say, wait a minute, you need to go talk to Steve Farley? She can wheel some money. We know that.
A lot of things can happen in 4 years, and we are right now coming to the end of the longest economic expansion in the history of America. So we are, whether it's in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 6 months maybe, we're going to see a recession start to unfold. That's just the business cycle. That's just the reality of economics. And that's going to happen. And when that happens, there's going to be tough choices made. Now, they may not be as tough as they were during the 2008, 2009, and 2010 Great Recession, when the city council had to figure out, you know, really hard choices to make because they had no buffer. But those hard choices are going to come back, and it's going to be, do you have some social service thing you want to fund, or are you going to fund another police position? When I started practicing law in 1993, I spent the first 5 years of my practice doing a lot of work for the Tucson Police Officers Association Union. And there were 1,100 certified officers at that time. And now we're like in the low 800s.
Wow.
And so, and people are noticing that. I mean, you can't get calls to anything except serious property damage. You get a burglary and you can't even get a police officer to respond. You got to do it online, unless there's, you know, really serious property damage or an injury to a person. So it, So hard choices like that are going to have to be made, and the voters are going to hold people responsible for those hard choices.
Rick Grinnell is on our phone lines. He ran as a Republican for mayor of Tucson after a write-in effort. Rick, you're with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Thanks for your call.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
You know, I hate
good to hear from you, Rick.
Say this. Huh? Yeah, you too, Jeff. I hate to say this, but I've played golf with some of Steve's most ardent supporters, and I told them very early on that Raina's ground game, with the support of the congressman and her husband and the Latinos, she was going to win this election, and she was going to do it handily. Everybody just seemed to say, no, that's not going to happen. And here's one dynamic that we haven't looked at over the course of this particular primary. You go back 20 years ago when Molly McCaskey, she ran in the primary. She won the primary. The question for the voters will be, I don't know if Ed necessarily will win this election as much as people will vote no not to have Raina to win this election. And that's going to be the real question. And you saw it in the presidential election with Mrs. Clinton and President Trump. And I think you may see that same dynamic this year. Raina's audience is very solid. The question is, will she be able to broaden that audience in a general election? Because I don't think the East Side voted much at all. I don't think you got much of a city center in the northeast and the southeast of Tucson. And that will be an interesting scenario to see how the voter turnout, because I don't think it will be so much for Ed as much as it will be against Rahina.
All
right. My thoughts.
Well, here's the flaw in that argument. And the flaw was brought up by one of the previous people on this show, Larry Bodine, who said that, and I haven't verified it yet, that the turnout of Democrats was 75%. If that's true, that is a record turnout in a primary. And if they can motivate Democrats to turn out those kinds of numbers citywide for the rest, for the general election, then Republican or Ackerley will get crushed. I mean, those numbers are just phenomenal. And those numbers might have been driven by the money that was spent on it and the ground game they created with that money. They were able to pay volunteers, not just use volunteers, but paid workers. So the fact is that if that kind of turnout happens, Ackerley has no chance at all.
All right. Go ahead, Rick.
Go ahead. No, I'm just going to say, and you're probably right to a point, but I think a lot of the moderate Democrats that were supporting Steve as well as Ms. Dorman, I think that audience may move a little bit more center-right and be a little bit more afraid of what Rahina has to do.
And to argue on your side on that issue, she didn't receive 50% of the vote. Together, Dorman and Steve got a total of almost 51%. So, you know, she didn't get more than half of the Democrats who did turn out. So, you know, what you're hoping for and what, you know, could occur, I guess, is that a lot of those people could say, nah, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not a Rahina Democrat. You could see a voting pattern like that, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Rick Grinnell.
Well, we saw it in 1999 with Polly. And I think we may see a similar type of campaign.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think in 99, 20 years ago, the Democratic Party was not in as good a control of this city as it is today.
Let me ask you this. Is there reason to believe, and I'm going to talk with Raul Grijalva 4 o'clock on Friday. I'm going to ask him, did you make these calls to coordinate this effort of third-party money for Rahina Romero? Did you do this? And I don't know what he's going to say. But I'm going to ask him.
Asking him if Glenn made a few calls.
Glenn, what? You're sorry.
Glenn was his campaign manager from the very beginning in 2002.
Oh.
You can recognize him by his tie-dyed T-shirt.
Oh, okay. Glenn, maybe Glenn did.
He works for, you know, maybe it's Glenn. Maybe it was Rahina's husband. I mean, well, he doesn't have to personally make all these calls.
He just says, I'm calling from Grijalva's office, right? Yeah,
I'm calling on behalf of the congressman. Oh,
yeah.
By the way, he's now the chair of a committee.
Yeah.
He'd like you environmentalists to whom he does endless things for you, and he'd like you to contribute to this effort. You know,
how do you say no to that?
How do you say no to that?
You don't say no to that. That's the whole thing. Well, I'll ask him. That's interesting. But he called me, so I'm more than willing to talk with him. But I'm more than willing to say this is the first question, and then we'll go from there. So we'll see how that turns out. All right, Jeff Rogers, great to talk with you. Thank you. I think we're headed for some trouble waters here. I really do. You know, I think I want the best for Tucson. We all do. But this is not the direction that I thought it was going to go, that I thought it should go. I think that Steve Farley would have been a great mayor. I think we could have stayed on the same track that Jonathan Rothschild has been on, and we would have done the same things that he would have us do and led us to accomplish while he was the mayor for two terms. But now that's all changed, and we're going to see how much difference it really is. But thanks for being with us, Jeff. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Former chair of the Democratic Party, Jeff Rogers. Up next, Brent Davis, former Democratic city councilman. He was involved in the Farley campaign. What did he think of what became a disaster for Steve Farley last night? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This portion of our show brought to you by Perfection Auto Works and Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly. Call him at 323-8650. With us is Victoria Steele, State Senator. And Senator, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you very much.
Hi.
I know you were Rahina's...
I just drove back from Phoenix.
Good for you.
I was up there for our very first Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls Task workforce. It was, you know, the study committee. Today was the very first day for it. It was just amazing. It was really good. Very powerful.
You were a Raheena Romero supporter. You must be very happy about what happened yesterday.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I was there. Excuse me. I was there at her victory party, and I am thrilled. It was packed. It was wall to wall. You had to squeeze through a bunch of sweaty bodies to move anywhere in that room. And it looked really big when I first got there. There weren't many people there at first. And then it was just jam-packed. And I am so happy for her. I am so happy. I think that, you know, the race isn't over. She still has one more contest to get there, but I feel very confident in her.
By the way,
and I'm very happy for her.
You've been a good friend of Steve Farley's. That had to make you feel bad for him, obviously losing that Democratic nomination for governor,
hard.
And then all of a sudden the next year around, losing the Democratic nomination for mayor. That's a tough...
That's a tough thing. Yeah. He's... You know, I love Steve. Steve is also a really good friend. And when Raheena told me, so on one day we learned that Mayor Rothschild is not going to run for re-election, and then just a couple of days later, I run into Raheena at an event, and she says, "I'm thinking about running for mayor. What do you think?" And I said, "Oh my God, that is perfect. That is just friggin' perfect. You should do this." And I said, "I will support you. I will be there for you 100% of the way." And then a few days later, I see this text come through from Steve Farley. I'm like, oh no, I know what he's going to tell me. Oh no. And so I call him up and I said, "Steve," and he said, "You know, Victoria, you don't have to endorse anybody." And I said, "Yeah, I do. I gave my word. I gave my word wholeheartedly and just, you know, willingly, gladly gave my endorsement. And I cannot go back on that."
All right, let me ask you this.
But I love Steve. Steve's great. I feel sad for him.
I know that you're close to him. It just seems to me this outside money has tainted this whole race. I mean, you know, everybody hates dark money unless you're getting it. You know, that's what freaks me out about this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it distorts everything. It absolutely corrupts everything. Somebody has to say, "Okay, Raheena, I'm so glad you won. Put an asterisk by it. There's $1 million of late money in this from out of our county, out of our city, that we ought to be concerned about, Senator."
Well, here's what I think about that. This issue did not start with this race. The issue of dark money is not going to be decided on this race. And I would say if there was dark money, it was probably benefiting all three of the candidates.
I beg your pardon?
So I really, if there was
Excuse
dark
me,
money,
wait a minute. What did you say? How could it benefit all three if somebody's campaigning for your opponent? How does that benefit you?
Because
forgive me, I love you, but I mean, I don't understand what the hell you're telling me.
They all took dark money. They all benefited from having those IEs, those independent expenditures that sent out nasty things. So it wasn't just one candidate that did that. It was, you know, and it's not the candidate. So they can't, when that happens, there is to be no communication, no participation, no cooperation in that kind of thing. So if, you know, I've never had anybody, you know, do an IE for me that I'm aware of. But if that happens, the law is you're allowed to do that. So I know that each of the candidates worked really hard. They brought in record numbers in fundraising. So I don't think that's the issue. I think the campaign... I think one of the reasons that Raheena won is because she worked a really hard grassroots campaign. So if there was dark money benefiting one particular candidate, actually, I think that, you know, there was dark money that helped each of the candidates. So I don't think one candidate...
Well, here, let me give you an example. I live at Country Club in Prince. I had one person come by my house and support Steve Farley. One person. That was early in the campaign in May. I had three people come by in the last 6 weeks of the campaign that were paid by the unions to support Raheena Romero. Don't tell me that that money didn't buy three stops at my house and the volunteers of Farley only could do one. It made a huge difference, Victoria.
You know what? I am so glad that the unions supported Raheena. I don't care that the unions support. I do care. I'm glad that they did. And if you want to call it outside money, I'm okay with that, because this is union labor trying to make
all of
difference.
This money,
this
though,
is the working
not,
people.
This
in
is
our
not all. All of this money is not identified. There is dark money that came to the Raheena Romero campaign that we can't trace, and that's part of.
And you're going to say that is not the same for the other candidates?
What I think
that
we identified all the I think all of them, all the money that came from Steve Farley's third party efforts was identified as click or anybody else. I don't know of any dark money for the Farley campaign that's not identified. Do you?
When there is an IE, when there is something like that, that money is, they cannot coordinate with the candidate. And I'm just fine if Planned Parenthood or the unions want to support a particular candidate. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I really am, because the law allows it. There's no break in the law there.
I have found that people who are benefiting from dark money like it. People that are being adversely affected by dark money don't like it.
We
are not. Let me repeat this. We are not going to agree on this, but it's very kind of
okay.
you. Kind of you to
that's
be a part
right.
of our show. But, we're friends too.
But here's what I want to say.
Please,
I think
please
they
do.
All had a great run. I think it was a hard campaign. It was a tough campaign. But I think one thing we need to look at is the fact that we had a record number of voters turn out in this campaign, and that's pretty significant.
All right, let me give you one more argument. Steve,
she won by a lot.
This is something you can identify with. Steve Farley gave every one of his votes that he was asked for from labor for 15 years, their vote. He gave women productive rights. All of these women's groups he supported every single time. What did he get for that? A knife in the back. From the third party money that flowed to her campaign after he had given them their vote that they wanted for 15 years, well, 12 years, whatever the hell it was. Saying you're loyal to them, they're not loyal to you.
I would feel
badly about that.
I am not privy to anything. As far as I have no idea what their campaign funding looked like. I don't know. I haven't had time to know. All I know is I really support Raheena. I don't think she won because of dark money. I think she won because she ran a damn good campaign. And she's been there for 12 years.
All right.
I mean, she knows the business. People know her. People trust her. She's got huge name recognition. So did dark money make a difference in a handful of votes? Maybe. But, you know, maybe the others had some help, too. I don't know. I haven't paid attention to their fundraising. I haven't paid attention to the claims of dark money. I have been out there working, making phone calls, you know, helping my candidate. And she won by a huge amount last night. That was a pretty significant win. It should not be contributed to dark money. There should never be an asterisk behind her win.
That is what we will disagree. If somebody throws $1 million at your campaign, you don't need an asterisk. Come on, please. $1 million in your campaign, and that doesn't have anything to do with you winning or losing? Oh, come on, please. Really.
Since I don't know the finances of any of the campaigns, I cannot
I
fairly
love
comment.
You. I have to go.
I love you, too. Bye.
All right. Brent Davis is with us. I like you, Brent. That's as far as I'm going to go. What the hell is she talking about? I mean, you throw $1 million, doesn't count?
I think you hit it right on the the nail head there when you said when people get dark money, which traditionally is not the Democrats, it's usually the other party, they are okay with it.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I received a, first of all, you're absolutely right. That's what swayed this election. And she's right. It's legal. Now, whether it should be legal or not, that's a discussion for another day. But there's no question that kind of money in a mayor's race in Tucson, or a primary, much less a mayor's race, not a general election, but a primary, is just unheard of. And it did do that. Now, here's the interesting thing. I got an email from my friend Terry Goddard this morning. Unfortunately, it wasn't a personal one. It was one he sent to a lot of people. Yeah. But he said he's running the dark, you know, Stop Dark Money campaign. And his email said, last night we had three victories. We had two resolutions in Phoenix that apparently were supported by dark money, which the voters turned back.
Right, they did.
And then he said, and we had a winning clean elections campaign supporter win the Democratic mayoral contest in Tucson.
No, he didn't.
I think, well, she was clean elections, but I think that's disingenuous.
Of course, I think he's
well off the base there.
Well, I just, you know, it seems to me that if you bring it back down to just what I told you, I had one stop from the people from the Farley campaign. I had three more from her campaign that were paid to come by my house. You tell me that didn't influence my neighbors, didn't influence me, but it did influence my neighbors. Is somebody stopping by three different times. That money paid for by that out-of-city dark money, some of it traceable, some of it not, had an influence on this campaign. And if you want to ignore that, do that at your own peril.
Yeah.
Because if it's happened once, it'll happen again, and it's going to come back to kick these Democrats' butts because it's going to be used against them just like it was used for them.
I think you're
right.
So,
I mean, you know, if this is the game you want to play, Republicans can play this game all day long.
And they play it better than we do.
They play it a lot better than Democrats. So welcome to the big leagues.
Yes.
Well, you wanted to get into the show, you're in.
Well, you know? The one good thing is I made three predictions for the election. I said that, and this was just in the prediction side, I predicted Randy would finish third. I predicted that there would be a wide gap between the winner and the second place. But the main prediction was wrong. It was flipped. I thought Steve was going to win it, and it turns out.
What do you think that margin was? Was it the last minute? I mean, here's what I heard, and I found this from a fairly reliable source on the other side, from the Rahina people, of somebody I know that was not intimately involved in their campaign, but very close to it. 10 times the money of digital and social media. 10 times what Farley could do. 5 times television. 3 times, and maybe 4 times in mailing, which is terribly expensive.
Yes.
I mean, you got those things, you got them once, you got them twice, you got them 3 times, 4 times. Then they started hitting him, distorting his voting record in the House of Representatives and his voting record in the Senate. Just absolute hit pieces from this third party effort. Yeah. A complete distortion of who he is and how he voted and what kind of Democrat he was. And then you take a look at the additional money that was just thrown into the campaign for people being paid to walk, which is an enormously effective way to get to a lot of people if you've got enough people to pay to do that.
Right.
And, you know, I tell you, it's 105 or whatever the hell it was. You better pay them to do it, because they're going to tell you they're going to do it, and they're not. I mean,
you know.
And so that changed everything. To ignore the reality of yesterday's campaign is a fool's errand.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Steve had support from, as Victoria said, for some dark money. I think he had about $40,000 from the police and fire unions. Maybe it was 20, I don't know. And the police and fire union folks were out walking for him as volunteers also.
Sure, but they weren't paid to do that, yeah.
No, you compare $40,000 with $600,000, and we're not done counting this yet. That was just, you know, there's another report to come in.
All right, very quickly, just give me about a 90-second summary of what you think happened yesterday.
I think the dark money overwhelmed Steve in the last 2 weeks. We had polling information that showed him ahead, and even if it was wrong, he was so far ahead in the poll that we thought, or I thought he was going to win. And I think the dark money just overwhelmed him, and it's that's what happened. Now, congratulations to Rahina. She did run a tough campaign, or her surrogates in Phoenix did.
Well, it just seems to me that, you know, I don't know how this general election is going to turn out. I think, as I've got to know Ed Ackerley, a very well-informed fellow. He really is. He's done a lot of work. He's met with every department head. He's gone to all kinds of events to try to understand how the city works. Teaches at Economics University of Arizona in marketing. He has a very successful ad agency that we've dealt with for a long, long time. He's a very smart guy, very qualified guy. I don't know how well he's going to do.
It's going to be
an uphill battle, no question about that.
Statistically, it's almost impossible for an independent to win.
I think he's going to go as a great warrior and a happy one to say, this is who I am, and this is why I think you should vote for me, and let the chips fall where they may. And, of course, all the chips are in the middle of the table from Marina Romero's third-party effort. I'm going to be very interested to see what Grijalva says to me at 4 o'clock on Friday. I'm going to ask him, did you make these calls? Do you know who did? Somebody coordinated this effort.
Had to, yeah.
If people think, and that is dark money, if you can't track it to signature, it's dark money. And it seems to me that if it benefits you, it doesn't bother you. But if it attacks you or harms you, it's evil.
I suspect the upcoming 4 years that there'll be a lot of 5-2 and 4-3 votes, and that's going to be interesting in what direction our city goes.
I agree. Brent Davis, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Former City Councilman Brent Davis, quick break, and then Bruce Ash, former GOP National Committeeman, to take our show to the top of the hour. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum, now in our 31st year of continuous political talk. We've been doing this for a while. It's always great to talk with Bruce Ash, former GOP, he is the National GOP Committeeman, and a regular on the John C. Scott Show, as well as his own talk show host on the weekends here at KVOI. Mr. Ash, what did you think of what happened yesterday?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, John.
Yep.
I wasn't surprised. I thought Steve was a lackluster campaigner. To the best of my knowledge and sightings, there was not one campaign sign that was actually put out by his campaign. It was done through, I believe, the Firefighters Union. And those came late. And I was really kind of stunned by the lack of aggressiveness in the campaign, whether he thought it had the bag or what, I don't know. I mean, I had a bad feeling about how the election would turn out from early on.
By the way, the third party money in this, did it influence the outcome? Yes,
I'm sure it did.
You can't
have that much money flow into a campaign without it having an influence. And I guess if I was Steve Farley, I would be rather upset about that money coming in against him, particularly for the things that they said, which were, I think, totally fallacious. This is where I differ with you. Protected free speech, and what's dark money to one person is constitutionally permitted free speech by another. And what I will say about the so-called dark money, as you've referred to it, isn't so much why it was done, because we know why it was done. It was done to win an election. It was who did it and the intentions behind doing it. And when you look at Raul Grijalva's congressional district, and when you look at Regina Romero's city council ward district, you really have to say to yourself, are any of the folks who live there better off today than they were 2 years ago, 10 years ago, in the case of Regina Romero, or even in the case of close to 20 years ago, since Raul Grijalva came to office? Actually, it's closer to, I guess, 16 years with him. They're not better off. And a lot of it has to do with who they are, what they do, and how they do it. It is about grabbing power. Look, there are three basic responsibilities of city government to Tucson: police and fire protection, parks and recreation, and our roads. Can you really honestly look at any of those three and say that the job's been done properly over the last 12 years while Regina Romero has served on the city council? Can you honestly say that she would be a great spokesperson? Mayors don't have a lot of power, per se, but can you honestly say that she'd be a great spokesperson and a leader and somebody that industry would want to negotiate with on new industries coming to Tucson? I think the answer is no on all of those counts.
I think that what you're going to find is when we flip, and she will flip, on sanctuary cities, she will support it even before the election, and then she's going to support the $15 minimum wage proposal. Bank on it. Bank on it. I'll bet you everything I have. I don't have anything.
Those are backbreakers, and I'm not betting against you on that.
I bet the ranch as well, and I have a few more bucks at my ranch than maybe yours.
Well,
she is
invite
really
me over.
Without a doubt. Anytime. But all kidding aside, I mean, she is going to flip on those. Those are really, they're backbreakers for the city of Tucson. And, you know, when you look at Raul Grijalva and what he has stood for, this is Raul Grijalva's election. It's not just Rahina Romero's. This is Raul Grijalva's election. When you look at what he did at Tucson Unified School District, he destroyed that school district. It's never been the same since. When you take a look at what he did at the Pima County Board of Supervisors, it's never been the same ever since he was there. And now when he has had now 16 plus years as a member of Congress, this is a guy who has almost single-handedly transformed this county into being a great, prosperous, forward-thinking, progressive in terms of new businesses and new good things happening. You know, we've turned into this really stagnant, awful place. It's unsafe. The roads are crappy. The schools are pouring in TUSD. And you know, this woman who now is the Democratic candidate for mayor, the Democratic nominee. What is she going to do different? Is she going to say no to the man who arranged for, is it really $1 million? I mean, I heard it was about $500,000 or $600,000, but if it's $1 million, John, I mean, how can you say no to that?
Well, Larry Bourdain said it. You mean the additional money that was spent, $750,000? I believe it was $1 million. If you add it up the way I added up, it was $1 million in the last part of the campaign. It bought additional workers to my house to influence my vote. It influenced people in the digital world by 10 to 1. It influenced people who watch television by the television spots 5 to 1. It overwhelmed the campaign, changed everything in the campaign. I don't know where Steve Farley was by mid-June, but he was a hell of a lot further ahead than he was in mid-July and mid-August. And by mid-August, it was over. O-V-E-R. And you, among all the people on the face of this earth, understand the power of money, especially in a political campaign, and you can't ignore it. You do so at your own peril.
No, not at all. And that money is going to have a hell of a lot of influence on Rahina Romero if she is elected mayor, the Ward 1 nominee as well if she's elected. And frankly, as you pointed out, I think rightfully so, it's going to have a lot of impact on the other members of the city council, with the exception of Kazacha, because he sort of marches to his own drummer. In this case, thank goodness, they are going to be scared to death to oppose her, which really means you're opposing him, which means in their next election, forget it, turn out the lights. And what you said about that money coming back. And hurting them on the backside, it's going to happen.
Yes.
And these guys have long memories. They never forget anything, and they're going to make sure. You heard even what your guest from Block for Arizona, how he talked about Steve Farley. How he's just, you know, he's kind of a white guy, and you know, hey, he isn't. You know, he really didn't do that much, and he really doesn't stand for progressive values and so on. Look, Steve Farley, you know, led the way on loads and loads of things that, you know, we could argue are good or bad. But he, you know, Steve Farley is a progressive, and guys like Steve being just tossed to the side. I don't know what this means exactly for politics in Tucson, but I don't see rosy days ahead. And I think, John, the first bridge that's going to break is going to be the one with the Tucson Police Department and with the firefighters. I think we're looking at some significant issues that come up there in the first year of her mayorship if she is elected.
All right, here's the sirens from my point of view. Mike Ortega leaves as city manager. That's the first huge reaction to the new mayor. That's going to happen. And I give him 9 months, maybe a year, to stay, and maybe not even that long. I think he'll move to the county. I think that's a terrible shame. I talked about the $15 minimum wage. That's coming. She'll support it. The same thing applies to Sanctuary City. She opposes it now. She can now afford to support it with those that apparently are going to the polls. Sure. And approve it. So, I mean, this She is not a decisive person, and the last person she talks to is the way she's going to vote, at least for that day, and then check with me in about 3 days like she did in Grand Canyon University. This is going to be a nightmare. A nightmare. No, write it down.
She's not a dumbbell. She's devious, and she's just as devious as the man who's pulling her strings, and that's Roger Halvin. And you know, you're going to ask the congressman, you know, did you do this? Did you do that? And he's going to deny it because he had somebody else do it.
Well, I'll ask him who he had do it.
Well, I'm not sure he's going to answer you.
Well, I don't think he will either. So, doesn't mean I'm not going to ask him.
He doesn't have too many truthful moments. But you know, Ortega is a big deal, and you're right. He probably will go to the county. That, you know, his loss at the city may be the county's gain for the rest of the residents in Pima County, because if he is the successor for Chuck Huckleberry, he's the right guy in terms of a skill set. He's the right guy in terms of age. I can't believe that people are actually floating Jan Lesher's name. I think Jan's older than me, and I'm older than dirt, as being, you know, the successor to Chuck Huckleberry. Mike Ortega would be a great find, and hopefully he doesn't leave Southern Arizona. I mean, he probably is a hot commodity right now around the country, whether it would be a county administrator's job or a city manager in some western city.
Well, we should bring back the flag football game of the past when we first met, and I will again kick your butt as I did then one more time.
You did kick my ass, but this Saturday, John, on the show, we have an extraordinary show on Inside Track from 1 to 2. We have Andy Puzder, who is a Trump China trade tariff advisor, and we have Dennis Kolk, who is a member of the Hong Kong Legislative Council. He is the founder of the Civic Party there. He is a leader within the pro-freedom movement that's going on in Hong Kong. And he and his colleague, Alvin Yeo, were in America just last week, and we talked with him at the conclusion of this trip, and it'll be quite an interesting show, I think.
We'll be listening.
All China, all the time.
All right. Bruce Ash, thanks for being with us. Great to talk with you.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Bruce Ash, GOP National Committeeman. This portion of the John C. Scott Show brought to you by Perfection Auto Works, complete auto repair, foreign and domestic, at 1046 North Beverly. You can trust Mike Emery to repair your car. What a great guy. What a great mechanic. It's the place to go, as they specialize in European cars, Japanese, and trucks. 323-8650. Problems with your car? You just call Mike Emery. Your problems are going to be gone. You'll be very glad about that phone call. 323-8650. Stay tuned next for Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball, the best local produced radio sports talk show in all of America. This has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow, 3 to 5, over this backyard fence, talking the politics of Southern Arizona. Have a great evening, everyone. Thanks for listening.